hello, 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 everybody.
Hello.
That is Jim Carrey in a series of unfortunate events, Count Olaf. That is the second episode in a row that I've opened with a Jim Carrey reference.
Really?
Are you a big fan?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Who isn't a big fan of Jim Carrey's? The Mask, Truman Show. That's about it.
That's pretty
much
it.
Dumb and Dumber. Anyway, welcome back to Upload VR's Jim Carrey podcast.
Wow, we have an audience today looking at us while we're podcasting.
So we're recording in our brand new mixed reality studio that Oz has been spending every moment of every day for the past long time.
It's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
It's awesome. So basically, we're surrounded by green screens, and we have a nice little mic setup, and it's great. We actually have headphones on, so we can hear each other as we talk. So
the set is going to turn into a movie set. It's going to have like cool action figures behind you, VR headsets, Alexas, and
the levels can actually be adjusted, so I don't like talk really loud and ruin everyone's day.
Yeah, hopefully,
because the way we had it before was a little I'm learning.
I think you're still a little
bit
loud. I'm
going to
go
things.
Turn you down.
Yeah, Oz is going to. We're going to do it. We're going to do it live. But so while he's doing that, how you doing, Ashley? How's life been treating you in the past 7 days?
I'm doing well. Glad to be back.
Yeah, we're glad to have you back. It'd be really sad if you weren't back, because that would mean something terrible happened.
I know, right?
So terrible.
Did you like the Ashley Whitlash Memorial episode?
Let's not do that.
No, that's too much of a bummer. Have you been up to anything?
What would that be like?
Been up to anything cool?
Should we ideate?
This was a long... this is like a long day.
I like how Joe just completely knocked it down. I'm talking about my day today, guys.
He's had a really long day, guys.
I feel like I either have like very little to do in terms of like coming into the city in San Francisco, because I live in across the bridge in the East Bay, or I have like
he's a bridge and tunnel person,
or I have like everything to do. Like somehow everyone in VR has this sixth sense to schedule things on the same day, and usually
they
at the
know
same
when
time.
You're in town.
So we have to like ask, can we do this like an hour later so we can make it to both? But so I was at Unity this morning. If you guys know Unity.
Name drops. Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah.
No,
keep
just
going.
Educating. So there's some cool stuff that we got. We got to see basically the lineup from Sundance in the
very cool.
New Frontiers.
So what does that consist of?
They brought a few of the experiences. So New Frontiers is Sundance's sort of experimental.
Wait, do we introduce ourselves?
We'll do the intro and then we'll do the official. For right now, just. You know,
stick around.
Keep it mysterious if you want to know who these voices are.
Okay.
But,
we already learned about the memorial, so I think they.
New Frontier is the we know one yet. So New Frontier is Sundance's experimental film thing, and that's been a lot of VR stuff in the past few years. Mm-hmm. And so they brought out a couple of the cool things. So there was like Chocolate, which is from Tyler Heard, the guy that made Butts and
old friend.
The kind of crazy things. And there was a really cool thing we saw called Hue, which is. This very beautiful black and white thing on the Rift, and it's about dealing with sadness and loss. And for some reason, people that make VR films really like to make you feel sad.
They would just want to make you cry in
like
a fucking headset.
Dear Angelica is like, you got to get new lenses because you're just covered in tears by the time that's over.
Mm.
So that was cool. And then I went from there to Google. So something that I can't even talk about yet.
Mm.
Yeah, big secret. But let's just say.
Tell me later, okay?
Let's just say you should get excited. They don't bring me out for the small stories. Let's just say that.
What were you last? You were the last there for Google Earth, correct?
Yeah, that's the last thing I saw there was Google Earth.
Okay.
Does it top
you don't
that?
Have to. Yeah, you
I
don't
can't.
Have to spoil it. But
you could tell us if it tops
were
that
you,
or not.
You told me when you came back, you're like, I have an embargo. I can't talk about it. But this is the coolest thing I've ever seen. That wasn't for today. That was for Google Earth.
Where'd you said?
So
okay, now I'm,
is it
so
anywhere
I'm
in the same realm of excitement?
I am usually on the other side of this, trying to get people that know stuff to tell me stuff. But I do not. I am the last thing I'm going to do is tick off Google, so because they will either come find me or just take my internet away.
What's the embargo?
I don't think I can even tell you.
What?
I don't think you can even say that.
Okay.
Look, there's probably a red laser sight on my head right now.
I just remember podcasts that I used to listen to. They would talk about embargoes on air, but not about
I can't
them,
verify
like,
that. I'm not taking my life in my hands because of podcasts. Are they still on? Or those hosts are dead now because Google got to them.
So EGM. Some of the things that we can talk about today, though.
Cool news coming up. So what's up, everybody? This is the VR cast. This is the VR cast. I like starting it off with a little bit of intro, but this is VR cast. This is Upload VR's VR news podcast, where we go through biggest news of the week and some bigger news analysis about this cool new thing called virtual reality.
What?
So I'm Joe. I'm your host, and this is
Ashley
and
Oz. I'm back, guys.
He's back. It's been a little while.
It's been a while.
Let's do, we usually do this at the end, let's do this at the beginning to get started. Let's do, what is everyone doing in VR today? Like,
what am I doing? Okay.
What are you playing when you're not here?
I'll go first. Last night, I got into the alpha of Mind Show from Visionary VR. Yeah. Woo! It is my favorite thing ever. It's like literally everything I've ever wanted is like voice acting and VR and just like playing the character that you actually want to play. Mm-hmm. And then you record that as an animation. And then you have like a 30-second clip or movie that you just made, like a Pixar movie that you can make using VR. And so it's especially fun with friends. So like, you can go each take a turn and go in there and be a character.
And you become the character. Like it maps this cartoony character to your movements.
And so it's funny because bigger characters, you don't actually become exactly the same size, but like you see, if I was Heavy from TF2, that was a character, and his arms go way past beyond the controllers that you're holding. And so you're holding, like, you feel like you're literally inside of this big man, like controlling big arms. Like, it's hilarious. And so that helps you get into character.
Wearing whole cans.
So we'll put a link in the show notes for people to watch the videos that we made. It's on Facebook, my show on Facebook.
Cool.
Oh, very, very cool.
Ashley, what about you? What have you been doing?
I haven't been able to, actually, lately. Last week. I've been super swamped. Sorry, guys.
Being a grown-up.
You know.
Electricity bills due today.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, God. That's my version of that. But the good news is I've kind of pieced together that I'll get to you, but I want to be clear that I think Ashley is the fan favorite so far.
Really?
Yeah. Well, I mean, thanks, everyone.
We put the calls out for comments, and you can comment on any story we do with questions for next episode. You can email me at joe@uploadvr.com. But
please do.
I was like, I wonder if we got any comments, and like, it was like three that were all like, let Ashley talk more.
So thoughtful.
Yeah. So that's, you're the really favorite. And I get it. You know, who wants to listen to me talk?
Yeah, we'd love to do a questions section. If you guys upload.
Yeah, you guys got to send us questions.
And we'll get more. We'll help you out. We'll like tweet stuff out. But I've been playing just more Onward. I've been playing Onward a lot.
Dude, so my favorite. Seriously, my favorite really game on the
board. Okay, tell us.
I haven't been like gripped by a game in this long, like VR or otherwise.
So what is it about? It's that just makes you
boys and guns.
So
yeah,
okay.
There's guns. Wow. Talk.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
isn't that every?
So no. Not every game has guns.
Sorry, if you don't know, is it was on the Vive originally. Now it's on Rift as well. It's a military sim shooter in the tradition of Counter-Strike and Arma and all those games. Mm-hmm. So basically, it's really realistic how you reload the guns and aim the guns, and you know, it's like one hit. If a bullet hits you, you die, because that's what bullets do.
And the sound is so scary.
Yeah, the sound's really good, and it's just early enough where. Like it's not a finished game. It was made by one man named Dante, who's like he's 19 or 20. He's very young.
Mm-hmm. Oh wow!
He never made a game before. He taught himself how to use Unity for VR.
Downloaded free assets.
Yeah,
like,
and now he's working.
My gosh, it's so impressive.
It's amazing.
Yeah, he's a really impressive dude. And now he's working out of the Valve offices to make it even better. And but that game is just so, like, I don't know, something about this. It's got just one more round kind of thing to it that you just can get lost in and. For a game that has you running around with a gun and ducking and we like no motion sickness really, which is impressive.
So there's no teleporting. You press forward on the thumb pad and you just move forward.
So this is sort of like the locomotion that we were talking about for Arizona Sunshine, right?
Yeah.
Right.
And which doesn't have a lot of motion sickness either.
So people are used to it, I guess.
Yeah.
They want to move.
So. You do have to get your stomach for it though. Mm. Like you have to develop, like you can't.
Your sea legs for
VR.
Sure.
Legs, yeah.
Your VR legs. Let's just officially say we coined that term.
Yeah.
VR legs.
Yeah.
You heard it here first.
I've used it in my other podcast.
No.
Oh no.
We coined it. We got a certificate. So we called the guy. You guys want to talk about some news?
Let's do it.
I want to talk more about Onward, but okay.
Oz, can you be our timekeeper again?
Before we start, I actually just want to say that I had like the first nostalgic moment this week when I went back to Onward.
Your first nostalgic moment ever. You've
like,
never felt nostalgic before.
In like for a VR game.
You're just a
like,
rock.
Okay, just give me a second. Give me a second.
Oz is developing emotional skills right now.
I bought an Xbox One so I can play all the Halo games. I mean, that was the most nostalgic thing I've ever played through. But then I hadn't played Onward for a good month or so. And like I went back a couple of days ago. And the first like 10 seconds were just like my brain was like, wow, this is such a cool place. I miss this place and this feeling. Yeah. And it's because VR is just so engulfing. And I think we're going to have these crazy memories down the line when we're going to come back and like play these old games.
Well, haven't they actually found in some of the research that people retain the memories they make in VR just the same, like it's stored in the same place as where we store real memories.
It ends up being stored where you store like visual memories instead of like
spatial memories.
And stuff like that. Instead of just, you know, oh, I played this game.
So for more information on that, you guys should check out our other podcast on the Upload VR Network.
Shoutouts.
I told you. You can come on my show, but don't go plugging
your... I can't plug my own show?
No. Plug away.
It's an Upload show. Okay, it's called the Research VR Podcast, and it's all about brains and science and VR. So this is...
You guys should all listen.
Yeah. Well,
if you like Bill Nye, the science guy.
The Oz, the science whiz.
It doesn't rhyme, but it's really fun. So let's talk about the news. This is our section. We call it the... I just call it the Big Five right now because I'm not creative. So we're working on, you know, maybe getting a better name. But basically, this is the five biggest news stories of the week. These are all from UploadVR.com, the leading news source for all your VR AR news. UploadVR.com. It's where I work. Go there so I can have a life and buy food.
Okay.
So number one, I'm going to put 5 minutes on that clock.
Check this out. Alexa, set a timer for 5 minutes.
We have a new...
Alexa?
5 minutes.
There you go.
Wow. All right. Alexa's timing me.
Alexa's going to keep us on time.
Go. She's going to get mad.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So number one on the list is about a company called Oculus. We're going to open and close our show today with Oculus News. So number one is Oculus is building an AR incubation team in Redmond, Washington to prototype new hardware. So according to a job posting that we found earlier this week, Oculus is hiring for a AR incubation lead that will hire and lead a team to work on new AR hardware. So that is pretty exciting. We've known for a while that the sort of long game for Oculus involves these aviator form factor sunglasses that are sort of a convergence of VR and AR. And we've obviously seen a lot of the VR side, and now here's some of the AR side. So
certainly missed the VR train on that one.
They're starting to get that's, you know, second prong in gear, which is really cool and exciting. And there's a lot of really it looks like it's definitely going to be a job that's focused on making, you know, consumer ready hardware. And this person's going to work directly with Michael Abrash, who is the genius man that is
the genius
that is actually Bill Nye, the science guy over at Oculus. Yeah, he's brilliant. So that's, you know, turns out job postings are a really good way to figure out what's going on inside of a company, because it's one of the things you can't really hide too much. You need to hire people. Yeah, you need to get the word out. And so that's given us kind of our first glimpse into their, you know, longer term plans outside of just making the Rift. And it's in Redmond, Washington, which is also where Microsoft is and HoloLens is. So Washington's kind of becoming...
Oculus has a team up there, too.
Yeah.
Or Facebook, yeah. Or no, it's Oculus, actually, proper.
It's my homeland.
Is it?
Yeah.
Then tell us, Ashley. What can we expect from this Pacific Northwest office? How many trees are out there?
Lots of rain.
Yeah, I can imagine. Well, that's here now too. But Ashley, honestly, what do you think of
like a live mixed reality studio? Because everything's green.
That's
my heaven.
What do you think of Oculus officially working on AR hardware?
Oh, I'm excited. I'm wondering, like, how long does this development take, though? Like, when are we actually going to see a prototype?
I would think a long time. Like, AR in general, in my opinion, is more of an idea than...
Well, and we've seen some of the difficulties with, you know, others, like Magic Leap, trying to shrink their technology down. And
do we have that story on the list?
No.
The fact that Beyonce tried Magic Leap.
We're not giving that...
not touching on that yet.
That's a funny story. I will not make that
but
news.
But I think one of the comments in your article really pulled it in is that AR is just a difficult problem to solve for, you know. So
really,
being
really
able
hard
to shrink all these things down,
and
it's
gonna
be difficult.
Yeah, I wish it was easier. I tried an AR thing today at Unity. It's so cool when it works, like when you get that when you're positioned right and you can see something that just looks so believable. It's really awesome. But it's not even that people have to be smarter or more creative. It's just the technology doesn't exist yet.
Or
it does exist, but has to be improved many like orders of magnitude.
Right.
So
it's only Microsoft that really has the true definition of AR to me right now, like with the HoloLens. And everyone that's tried it is just like,
I feel like Meta's not that far.
Meta's the only other one this point where they finally got the inside out tracking working too, and like finger tracking. So, you know, it's not easy.
No.
This is like DK1 days for sure.
And this job posting was under their research department. So this wasn't, you know, even hardware or manufacturing. Yeah, this is very early days.
It's not AR marketing, let's just say.
Yeah.
That's when you'll know.
They're going to be trying a lot of crazy ideas, and I'm sure spending a lot
seeing
of Facebook
what works.
Money. But that's cool. So I think that's an interesting. What cool. do you think, though, too? And I'll ask you again, Ashley, because you're our resident Washington yeah. expert. What do you think of them?
You don't have to laugh off mic, Ashley.
No.
It's okay.
It's my
people
want to
hear
laugh.
You. You're like, people just like off to the side.
So it
I
actually
think
sounds,
I just do that automatically.
It actually sounds like you're just like silent. Like we're all laughing.
I'm like silently laughing.
Yeah. You're just staring at us angrily while we chortle. But do you, I forgot the question we were going to talk about.
You were talking about Washington.
Yeah. Okay. So, do you think that Oculus working on any new hardware is exciting to you? Because that's been a question people keep asking is, do you think they'll just go software? But no, apparently they're very interested in building. Yeah.
No, I think this goes right along with their roadmap of what they said they wanted to achieve. And, mm-hmm. and now they're starting to delve into that arena. So yeah, I don't think it's necessarily surprising that they're doing it.
I'm not exactly impressed if that's true.
No, I mean...
like, I'd like to see a little more on the table. Or
I think it's, like you said, it's early days, and we also just don't know the timeline right now. Right, I would love to know, okay, so they're starting to
research.
They
gave you their timeline. 10 years, maybe.
Yeah.
Well,
it's a 10-year.
God, that's a long time.
Alexa I guess, says, Alexa no, says. That, actually, that was my, I did a safeguard on my phone. Because I thought Alexa didn't get that, so
she might be off because she's not listening to it. She's mad at us. Sorry,
we'll
Alexa.
We'll try it for a second.
It's all right. We'll use phones.
No. I want it to be a part of the show.
$45 on this thing. I'm going to get my money's worth.
It's an Echo Dot, by the way.
But that's just right. Your last thoughts. This is AR being a real commercial reality is really exciting and cool. But mm-hmm. it's a long term goal for everyone, not just for Oculus. Like,
right.
A lot of people are working on it, and it's just as difficult for all of them. So, it's cool, and I'm excited that they're going to do it, and it's cool just to see them, you know, taking the interest. So, number two,
Amazon set a timer for 5 minutes. Amazon Alexa set a timer for 5 minutes.
She got it. She's got it.
She's got it.
Hey, she got it. Hey.
Yeah, actually, that might get annoying after a while.
We'll see.
We'll let you guys.
You're
know.
On notice, Alexa. So,
no, don't say it.
So going from we're like so terrified. So going from Oculus to Vive. So. Well, we got some news about the Vive Tracker. You guys heard about this?
Mm-hmm.
New things?
No. Well, it's sort of like a confirmation of something we were pretty sure. But
oh,
it's now we're now have you know official confirmation that the Vive Tracker includes a USB add-on that you can use to connect additional accessories.
Oh, I knew that at like CES.
Look, man.
Okay, well,
you're very smart.
For those listening, you. If you were not at CES.
He mentioned
now
it like
you
when,
know.
When he was giving his press the GM from Vive when he was giving his thing he mentioned mm-hmm. kind of in passing and we were kind of trying to figure out how real that was but now there's been diagrams released and
yeah.
you can see it so now we know a little more how you can connect these things to mm-hmm. something like a gun peripheral
and there's an interface essentially that's on the tracker that you can connect to if you're connecting it to an electronic device mm-hmm. then they can talk. And you can actually have power going through it. You can yeah. have IMU data going. So there's a lot that can be done there.
IMU, you are me.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So they're now available for
no
developers.
Yes, so for the developers yeah. they are,
but
yeah.
not for the public yet.
So they're giving public. Away a large amount of them, mm-hmm. like as Vive is wont to do with their
they
right.
won't
technology.
Be of. I don't think they're going to make it available for consumers. It's like no. not. It's not a thing you're going to
see. We
buy.
Talked about this right after you guys
we
got
did,
back
right?
from
yeah.
CES.
Okay, let's not have that mm-hmm. conversation again.
Yeah.
No. But how do you see the average person using it though? If
like,
it were to be
people, the things people are posting are like. Gluing it to their keyboards or beer cans.
So real creative.
Yeah, to like see. I think having your keyboard in VR would be really, really cool.
Yeah.
Because that's so annoying mm-hmm. to be like, home keys. Where are my home keys?
Yeah, I know.
And then once I find them home keys, I'm good to go. But you feel like a dummy. Especially if I'm like playing Overwatch in big screen and I'm trying to run forward, but I end up reloading or popping a skill. I'm like, my team.
You got to put some textures on your keyboard.
I'm like, look, I'm already bad at this game. Help me out. So, yeah, I don't think it'll be too useful to the average consumer. But what will be useful is all the cool stuff developers are going to make. Mm-hmm. That's Vive's game in a nutshell, yeah.
Speaking of Onward, do you play it in big screen, don't you, if you're playing with friends? Or you're just playing
virtual desktop.
Oh, okay, yeah. Gotcha. I was going to say, if you guys are still doing a big screen thing, we should open it up for our audience to, like, yeah. join in one day and just, like, have
oh,
two
that would
seats
be cool.
open
we should.
And play with us.
Big
yeah.
screen's really satisfying and fun. So this is another Vive thing. This is kind of a twofer. Vive twofer.
A twofer.
Double. So they're working on...
Daily double.
They're working on a... not necessarily them, but there's been a sort of proof of concept thing coming out for full body tracking with a Vive.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. I love that video.
Full body tracking is a grail-esque thing in VR right now. Like, how can I have my whole mm-hmm. body, you know, pretty seamlessly tracked without having to use, you know, very like a clunky system or a very like
a suit,
laborious suit. You have to like zip into. That. So from the story Ian wrote on UpliveVR.com, one method of tracking full body movements is by wearing a suit that takes a lot of time to put on and calibrate. But a pair of videos released in the last few days show how Valve software's promising tracking technology is usable for the same purpose. So there's a first test by a guy named Steve Bowler at CloudGate Studio, who developed mm-hmm. a game called Island 39. Early access review game. Of 8 out of 10 on UpliveVR.
Nice.
Now he's released a second experiment showing just how good the movement capture works with the HTC Vive. When you have 6 points of data to collect, the first test didn't track the hips, but now Bowler's putting Vive controller in a tool belt at his waist, and in addition to the ones at his feet and his hands. So he's basically putting Vive controllers at all these different, you know, points of articulation on the human body.
Yeah.
And then when combined with his head's position via the headset, these 6 points provide an incredibly realistic real-time body capture system.
So
good job,
which
Ian.
Is pretty cool.
Well written. Yeah. Yeah. So what does full body tracking do for VR, Oz? Go.
So you got your hands, you got your feet, you got your hips, you got your head.
Listen, you got fingers
and toes. Shake it all about.
So now you can do audio shield with your feet. That's what it means.
I would listen to a whole podcast of you just going from head to just listen. Hair, scalp, forehead, eyebrows.
Eyebrows.
Yeah, but like, why is this? How much? Why is this so much better than just having your hands and head?
Even just going back to Mindshow with like doing animations, the feet are extrapolated from your arms and head, so like they kind of look wonky. Mm-hmm. This would change that, and I think just from like playing multiplayer games or having social experiences, like just seeing the actual pose of what they're standing at, you know, their gesture, their body language is super important. So that's a big, you know, thing you'd gain from having that interaction. From the other end, on the research or just analytics standpoint, like you can pull a lot of data from that person's pose and understand their emotion, their thing, their current state, and you can maybe change the game to actually, you know, and be in line with that.
Oh, there you go. There's Alexa telling us to be quiet.
Thank you, Alexa.
So this is still a, you know, prototype.
Alexa, thank you.
All right, we're not using her anymore. She's fired. She's out of the gang.
She's out of.
Alexa, stop alarm.
Okay, we're doing phones, guys. Sorry,
we're out of here. This is still a lot of work. Let's go back to Ian. He says it better than anyone. So, quote from the article, there's still a lot of work to be done before we'll start seeing these types of solutions in a lot of VR games. HTC has just started distributing Vive trackers to developers, which would provide an even better ergonomic solution for this sort of tracking. Mm. We're also still waiting for revelations from hundreds of partners which are working with Valve's Steam VR tracking technology and what would likely include even more ergonomic solutions built. So, like Ian saying, you want ergonomics? We're going to go even more ergonomic, and then we're going to go even more ergonomic. You're going to be so freaking ergonomic, you won't believe it. So that's basically what he said. Like, this is a very cool step, and you can see the video on our, again, on our site, and it's a really cool.
It's actually pretty impressive how much it can track.
Yeah.
It looks like Gollum, you know, from like,
yes.
Gollum, like as good as
Andy Serkis. Yeah, totally.
It looks like the technology that made Gollum necessarily.
Right.
Like,
okay.
You don't look like Gollum in this journey.
You can look like Gollum.
You could. You can do whatever you want. Let's move on. Ready for the next one?
Mm-hmm. Let's do it.
Number 3?
Yeah.
Yeah, 3. All right, so the Adrift developer, 310, has apparently run its course, and its founder, Adam Orth, has joined First Contact Studio. So if you remember, Adrift is a game that came out right at the start of VR releases, and it's not my favorite game.
Oh, man. Who wrote the review for that?
I wrote the review, yeah. So we gave it a 6 out of 10, which is like kind of the right at the cusp of dipping into, you know, bad game territory, which is a shame. But essentially, it had its positive. Like, it was a beautiful game.
Yeah.
It was, there's a lot of interesting atmospheric elements. It just ended up being,
it was a good thing, not a good game, I think.
Yeah,
right?
It was a good idea, and it was interesting to execute. And Adam Orth has been around in gaming for a while, and now he was a former Microsoft employee who formed a startup studio when he left them, and now. Let's go to Jamie's article. Speaking to GamesBeat, Orth revealed that he is joining First Contact, an LA-based developer formed of video game industry veterans that last year released the polished VR shooter ROM Extraction.
Hmm.
So that's interesting because, Adrift was one of the, if not best, but most notable and kind of iconic
early games.
People really wanted to play that and be in space and float around. And especially because I feel like Gravity came out around that time.
Yeah, that was
a big deal. Mm-hmm. People were really into that.
Or they announced it at the same around the same time. Yeah.
So now he's moving on. So it's interesting. Now we're at a point in the industry where we get to see this kind of stuff. People leaving studios, closing, switching leadership, people going to other places. But what do you think, Ashley? Are you going to miss this type of studio and this type of work?
Well, I think it just makes me think, is it too expensive to keep a studio running? You know, or how, as we see some of these kind of consolidate, because we heard this about another studio that closed on the East Coast as well, right?
Gorilla Cambridge, I think it was the Sony studio that closed, which is crazy, which is even crazier because that's a Sony studio. Yeah.
So I feel like we're going to see more and more of that. And then hopefully, my hope is that we'll then see better and better content being released.
Yeah.
So we kind of consolidate the talent.
Early days and the ideas that people had of like what people will want to do in VR are turning out to not be exactly the same things.
Right.
So we'll see a little bit more of like the trimming of the hedges in 2017. This will be a tough year for sure, and the ones that are doing well will definitely stick around, like you know, people like Against Gravity kind of come to mind with what they've been doing with Rec Room, and like I think that's such a vibrant and like growing app that like it's not like VR is dying, it's just like the good stuff is growing in the and you know,
the people with the
mediocre doesn't have much to live on.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah,
the people with like, you know, they call it venture capital for a reason, because you're placing bets. And a lot of bets were placed last year and are still being placed, and that's not necessarily going to change, but we are going to see some bets, you know, break the bank here.
Yeah.
Right.
Would that be good? Is it good to break the bank? Do you want to break the bank?
Is the phrase good?
That's a good thing.
You want to break the bank. Right. Because then you get all the money.
Aren't you broke? No.
No, I think it's the opposite.
Depends whose bank.
If you're listening and you know how this phrase works, please email me at
joe@vr.com. Or just write in the comments.
Because I really don't want to Google it and have someone at the NSA laugh at me. Like, oh, my gosh.
Should we do a hashtag for people asking us questions? Like,
yeah, we should.
We will be more active on Twitter, going forward. So in an interview, Orth said he was proud of the work the team had carried out in a short time together. He joins First Contact as a creative strategist, saying he is still, quote, all in on VR, end quote. He also teased the studio was, you got to do this, quote, solving hard problems from the VR standpoint, end quote, though didn't share anything more specific. So I think consolidation was a good word, Ashley. Like, talent is sticking around, but it's kind of gravitating towards other talent rather than competing with it.
Right.
And is that a good thing?
I think so, because then I think we're going to see more people coming together to create even better content.
You're so positive.
Than we did before.
You're always, every time
is that
need
bad?
To have someone.
No,
positive.
It's great. It's like I'm a very people describe me as happy go lucky.
I know, I'm the doom and gloom guy.
No, I think I'm a realist, but
first things first, she's a realist.
First things first, I'm a realist. INTJ, in case you were wondering.
Oh.
And yeah, I do think though, the more talent that you know put together in one room, you're going to come up with better things.
Yeah.
That's
natural order of the world, right?
Yeah, and you're the positive force. I'm the negative. I'm the guy that's just like trying
to. You're not negative, right?
Because like VR never works for me. And by the end of every day, I'm just like, VR sucks.
But you keep coming back every day.
Now I got to go back and edit out your sailor language.
You don't have to.
You might be even more positive.
It's a family show.
This is the internet.
This is a family show.
Regulate these things.
I'm not going to tell little Timmy. He can't. Little Timmy's getting a front row seat. So that's interesting. Ready at five?
It stopped. Yep.
Oh, we did.
I didn't want to hear it.
Yeah, yeah. No, I do that. I do it with the microwave when it's about to.
Yes.
Oh, me too. Me too.
Wow.
Just latch it open.
Like 2 seconds before. It's great.
Two, I want it to be in the last second, like, right, and I want to see the number switch to get down to zero, and then I pull it back like, no. Yeah, thank you for
you
laughing.
Can't do it.
Thank you for laughing into the mic, Ashley, so people know.
Yeah,
that.
I
tried.
Back
Sorry.
Yeah. All right.
So I can go like.
Moving on to number four.
Okay, and start.
So Ubisoft may be working on an Assassin's Creed VR game.
Ubisoft.
It's Ubisoft.
Ubisoft.
I was at their E3 presentation. They had shirts, I think, that said it's Ubi. Like, they had said it on their shirts.
Ubisoft.
Like, they were.
I think the French Ubisoft team says it different. Ubisoft.
So this was a rumor that went out. Because a designer had posted on his sort of portfolio a bunch of menus he was working on for a game. It seemed to be Assassin's Creed
VR.
You can't post anything.
So
online.
I ran the story, and then we had an update. So here's the update from Jamie. Matt Stenquist, who is the designer of these icons, has taken to Twitter to explain that his work was a collaboration between Ubisoft and his university, not an official project. No Assassin's Creed VR officially confirmed yet. So his tweet says from Matt, "Everyone who is spreading the Ubisoft Assassin's Creed work, it is not official. It is a collaboration between my university and Ubi." So I bring it up.
That's a funny mistake. Yeah.
Not just because, you know, because obviously kind of a non-story now, but I think it's interesting to see how interested people were in that story when it came around, and how excited people got at that
Well,
idea.
It's such a popular game. I mean, my cousin would die if they did this. She loves Assassin's Creed so much.
Those are console sellers, honestly. Like, yeah. It's these things, again, I kept coming back to it, but these bridging games that, mm-hmm. like, you know that game, and right. I want to play that game in VR. Like,
right, exactly.
Do it.
And let's be clear, mm-hmm. too, there's not no connection here. I mean, he said... it was a collaboration between my university and Ubisoft. So right. why would you ask for
yeah.
menus? It, like, I don't think Ubisoft is interested in just exercises and futility. So.
And we know from the way that they've developed Eagle Flight that you know this yeah, could be a natural progression.
Totally.
Of
I mean, it's in France, right? Yeah.
You can do if you're a studio like Ubisoft, like, I don't know, I'm just going back and forth now. If you're a studio like them and you have a franchise like Assassin's Creed, and you've already made it clear you're interested in VR, I feel like you'd be foolish not to storyboard a few things out and
sure.
see how it works. So it is not an official confirmation, but it is news that someone was sniffing around and someone has an idea over there. I mean, that's not nothing. That's a spark, and maybe we can get that to be a nice mighty forest fire someday.
I like it.
Here's the bigger question, though, is would you play / enjoy an Assassin's Creed VR game?
And my cousin.
How do you think it would work?
Okay, the first.
Are you? I feel like you're your cousin, and you're trying to save face. You're like,
no, she's literally
my cousin. We
shout out to Taylor right now.
Oh, sure, that's just your name spelled backwards.
I like thought about it for a second too.
What, Oz? Would you play that game,
dude? Hell yeah! But like, I'm thinking, how does the leap?
Little Timmy can't be hearing that.
Aww, I can't even say. Serious? It's a real thing.
It's a real thing. Timmy needs to know the realities.
We'll just beep you out.
Okay. Heck yeah. I want to jump off a building. I'm thinking how the leap of faith is going to work. Where mm-hmm. whether it'll be like a cutscene or they'll have to figure something out.
That's like when you do a big jump in.
The article touched on it potentially being just an escape room game.
Yeah, I mean there's a lot of ways you can leverage an IP like that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's the climb. Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah, so Assassin's Creed is all about climbing, right?
Yeah.
So, like, mm-hmm. I guess that part will be super, super cool.
Yeah. So, like you don't have to necessarily make, like, a full 40-hour Assassin's Creed in VR. That would probably be very unlikely.
But, like, to explore a city, that and climbing is just, like, the two favorite things about Assassin's Creed, and so that'll be really cool in VR.
So not the assassinating part? You don't?
Yes. Actually going behind people and just, like,
you're like,
oh, dude, wow. That would be so cool. I'm getting excited as I'm thinking about it. It's just, like, using the
hidden
blade.
Well, don't get too excited because, they
might
not make it yet.
You might have to wait for a while. Would you play this game with your cousin, Ashley?
Of course.
Of course. I mean, she would, would love that.
Who's this cousin? Is this a new character that I don't know about?
I think it's just Ashley, whenever she's...
I'm going to have her play this and talk to you guys.
It's just going to be you in a different voice. So I think, again, the point I'm trying to make here is that we've yet to see really too many, with the exception of maybe Resident Evil and some parts of the lab, anyone who holds a major IP really, really, really put it into VR and give it a fair shake. So,
but do you think we'll see more of that over the course of the next
year or two? I sure hope so, especially from Sony, who has PlayStation VR. They have this huge stable of first-party studios and IP that they could unleash, and Valve as well. I will never understand why Valve has not released a Portal VR yet.
I totally feel... I feel like we're going to do this like in a couple of weeks, but for GDC, I think they're going to talk about some cool things.
It doesn't even have to... It could be a half-hour experience, Portal VR. It's five puzzles, whatever.
Yeah.
With a small story and some good voice acting, and that would make things sell just so well.
Who made Portal Stories on the Vive when it first came out?
That was a fan project,
that was
I'm pretty
a fan
sure.
Thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I knew it wasn't first party, but... And two,
it just
one.
Seems so obvious.
Bing.
All right, so there you go. So if you would like to see Assassin's Creed VR and what you think of that, send me a note at joe@uploadvr.com. All right, last thing, and this is pretty short. I just wanted to bring it up and see what you guys think. But this year, for the first time, E3, the Electronic Entertainment Expo, will be open to the public to buy tickets.
Oh, Jesus.
So there's a few thousand tickets that will be made available. 15,000 tickets have made available to the public.
Oh, God.
And you can get them for $250 gets you the tick, and then $150 gets you some early bird discounts. Or if you get, if you order early, you get $100 off.
Dude, this is going to be the biggest event, like gaming event that people would,
well,
it's nuts.
Why do you think there's this push to open it?
Why do you?
I honestly think it's because E3 is struggling to maintain its revenue and relevancy in 2017.
Mm-hmm.
I don't by any means think E3 is a irrelevant show. It's still very important, arguably still in the conversation for most important gaming show of the year. But, you know, we've seen, you know, people like EA have pulled out, Disney Interactive, you know, a bunch of people. Nintendo kind of does its own thing now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So big, big names are realizing, like, why would we spend millions on an E3 booth when we can
try to capture attention from, like, the competitors. Exactly, and, yeah, like, where you can just do your own event. Yeah.
And or a live stream and get millions of viewers online for free. It's just it's the show model is a little difficult to. It's still good for demos, for getting hands on, for meeting with people, networking, for industry people and journalists,
and for fans. I think it's that they
real life try games early,
right?
And meet the developers and see the teams. I think those are cool. Cosplayers,
right?
But yeah, sounds like.
You know what, Timmy? You might want to just. You know,
are we always going to refer to the audience as little Timmy?
Oh, man. No.
Does he also have one leg, too? From
tiny Tim. Tiny Tim. He's just slumped by the fireplace, hoping Oz will not make his ears bleed one more time. Ashley, what were you planning to go to E3 this year?
I was not.
Does this change your mind? Because you're still kind of a private citizen out there.
I am still a private citizen.
I mean, you're on our umbrella now, so I'm sure you could get media clearance.
Get the in. I mean, yeah, I think it would be really cool to go. I think that, you know, I think in the article it talks about how it's going to make the lines ridiculous. And are people going to, it's like a Disneyland ride. Are you going to sit there and wait for 3 hours in line to try something
and people
for five
will,
minutes?
Totally.
And people will.
They still do, yeah.
Because they are really excited.
It's a bit different for us because VR is still specialized. So
right.
When people are doing VR demos, they usually have to have like a room and so you schedule an appointment and you show up for that. But yeah, if it's open to the public. Yeah, if you want to see like the new Nintendo stuff or play the new Call of Duty or whatever, yeah, you're going to be waiting for a while.
Is this going to lead into another story about demos? I don't know if you have it on the list.
Oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah, that's going to... Oz is always trying to tease me, like on my own show.
It's like coming. These thoughts are coming.
I get excited. I get pumped up. So if you're interested in going to E3 as a fan, if you're going to buy a ticket, again, tweet at us at UploadVR. Tweet at me, Joe_Durbin. Send me an email, Joe@UploadVR. And let us know why you're going, what you want to see, and maybe we'll grab lunch. I'm very lonely.
If people didn't hear him, his name is Joe Durbin.
D-U-R-B-I-N. Don't forget it. Nice. All right. That was good. I think we knocked those out pretty expertly.
Yeah.
And now we're going to move on to our larger topic of the show, and I think this will be a fun one. So the question I want to ask you guys, and take your time and think it over, is Oculus struggling? So are they in trouble? And I honestly 100% do not mean this as a leading question of like, are they struggling? Find out. Like, you'll know they are. I genuinely want to look at some things that have been happening and kind of try to piece together a correct image of this company right now.
Yeah.
Okay, piece it together for
us. So let's start. Let's take it one thing at a time. So first and foremost is their history, and that is now their kind of history of problems starting from their disastrous launch. I mean, there's no other way to say it. It was not good. To now tracking problems for their Oculus Touch 3 camera setup. So basically what happened is Touch came out and obviously, to be fair, completely, a lot of really good, awesome stuff has happened in between there. This is not Oculus is failing. I just want to take a look at some things that are happening and, again, try and figure out what's going on. So Oculus has a persistent tracking issue with when you set up a 3 camera setup where people are trying to do full room scale, spin around 360 stuff, but they're having a lot of trouble making that work. When Touch came out, they got on stage at Oculus Connect 3, said, can the Rift do room scale? Next slide, yes.
Yeah.
It can, and it will. And now people are trying to do it, and there's been some problems. And obviously, it seems that the constellation tracking system that they use with the cameras and the infrared dots was arguably maybe never intended to do this, and now they're trying to make it work to compete with Vive and get people what they want, which is room scale VR.
Right.
So that's my first question is, do you think that Oculus was playing the catch-up game with Touch, especially?
100%, yes, I think.
Yeah. Wow.
I mean, we talked about this a little bit before, that, you know, they obviously wanted to have the release be before the holidays for gifts and things like that. Obviously, sales are going to be larger then. Yeah. But while it may have been on their roadmap, I think they did probably try and accelerate it to beat the holidays and to also catch up to the Vive trackers.
Did you remind me, did they announce the Touch controls before the Vive was announced?
No, mm-mm. I mean, I'd have to look at the actual flow of information, but the Touch was made aware, I think, after even Rift itself came out, we learned about Touch. Mm-hmm. So, I think Oculus made a bet based on convenience. They thought people don't have giant rooms to give to VR, and they're going to appreciate a smaller, more compact setup. And honestly, I would agree on that because I have a small, you know, San Francisco apartment.
It makes Bay Area apartment
and
ideal wise, but like when you actually set it up, where it's like, okay, I could still have tracking in my room, even though there's a bed over there. But like, it'd be cool if I can lie down on my bed and it still works, which is my Vive setup right now.
Yeah,
like, it's pretty cool. Like
you're in bed. You're in bed in your Vive.
I can jump on my bed on a Vive and it still works.
That's the image of the day. Please,
that's the dream.
Someone gif it up, please.
So I don't think that. They made any type of like bad technology. I just think they didn't realize how much people would see these videos of people doing room scale VR in the Vive and be like, I want that. And I'm willing to pay more for that. And I'm willing to move my furniture for that. And now they're like, oh, okay, well we can certainly make that happen. So here's another camera and here's these touch controllers and have fun.
And think of it like from an internet side, it's like numbers and bigger is always better, right? Like the bigger, it tracks bigger. Obviously that's always better. Like the internet will always say that. And whether or not that's, it matters as much. Yeah. I mean, I still think it does, but like, the constellation tracking is definitely seeming to be an issue for them. And that was a cool article, I guess, the community download article that you guys wrote. What were the comments saying?
Not good. So basically the question we ask, every week I write a column that is basically a discussion post that asks a question that I think is irrelevant to the industry. And this one was constellation tracking a long-term mistake for Oculus. So they went a very different way from Vive with their setup. And it's a setup that has arguably more limitations. And both setups have the possibility of occlusion and lost tracking and all that. But the Vive is a bit more robust and capable. And so I just asked, like, was it a mistake to make the bet they made, you know? Let's do this way and not this way.
And so, I mean, are there any specific comments that you'd like to highlight? I think that'll be cool to...
Yeah, no, for sure.
Especially for listeners, they'll know what the question of the week is based on the download, and then they can answer it there, and then we'll read it here.
So this guy said, if room scale means... Oh, no, I have his name. John Stevens said, if room scale means everything to you, the Vive is an easy choice. Rift games just look and play better and are far more comfortable. I'm perfectly content with 360-degree standing VR, which the Rift does well. This DM says three cameras, zero issue. Like he wrote this, three cameras, zero issues on Rift with Arizona sunshine with room scale.
So I think that's also another thing is that when they released an update, that 1.1 update, I think it broke a lot of people's three or four camera setups, and then it helped some people. So it's been really shaky.
That's the problem is not everybody's having the problem.
Right.
Like not everyone is. So there's a chance that it's, We talked about this last week a bit, but there's a chance that it's partial user error. It's hard to know where these cameras' fields of view are and where the optimal placement is and all of that. So it's possible you just have your camera in a bad spot and then you turn around and you lose your hands and you're like, oh, it's broken. I need a patch. Mm-hmm. And you really don't. But it's also there are real legitimate software issues happening too. And it's probably going to take a patch, not just one patch, but like a patch cycle to troubleshoot and figure that out.
And another, I think, comment that I saw on like the subreddit was like, they should make these betas or they should make these releases beta first that people can opt in and download because you don't have enough testing computers in Facebook to even test out the different scenarios that you'll have. This is something, you know, simple things that you do on PC that Oculus hasn't really or Facebook hasn't really dealt with, like PC markets. It's always been full on pushes into your phone and then you can't really do anything. So they need to figure out how PCs work. They're so modular, they're so different, like you can't really control it. They're more modular than Android phones, which are already have billions of different versions.
So for the room scale catch up question, it does seem a little bit that they are trying to jerry-rig a little bit of the system they built to do what a competitor can do. And that's okay. That's trying to fix it.
I mean, they're at least addressing it.
That's not bad. That's admirable to me in a lot of ways. Like, this is what our consumers want, and we're going to figure out a way to make it happen. So, you can now buy as many cameras as you want and all that good stuff. So I think that's commendable. It just, and it might take some time to work. And again, this isn't a segment about, Oculus is on fire, and you know, sell your shares.
Right.
This is just more about we have an early industry, and momentum means everything. And so, what's actually happening behind closed doors? Also, to keep in mind is, no matter what, Oculus has Facebook money, so they're not going anywhere. So the second thing I want to bring up is two sort of like writings on the wall.
Mm-hmm.
The first is a group called Superdata Research does projections of how many headsets they believe have shipped or sold in 2016, and their projections for the Rift headset has gone down considerably since their last thing. We touched on this again last week, but basically their first report we got said that they projected that they would sell 350,000 or so by the end of the year. And now, like, the kind of end of the year thing we got said we anticipate that they shipped, not even sold, but just shipped 250,000. So that's a $100,000 unit drop off, which is significant, especially when your margins are as low as not even over a million.
Didn't Facebook make a statement recently where, to their stakeholders, where they're like, VR isn't going to make money for a while?
Yeah, that's
like,
been their messaging
totally
for a long time.
But there was a statement basically like this week when they were like trying to calm them down.
And let's be clear, that's true for everybody.
Yeah,
Vive isn't like, you know, crushing millions and millions of units or anything like that.
I bet, but I think they're doing better than
their estimate was in the 450,000 unit range, and it's always kind of been that way. And that's a whole other discussion of why that could be. But to see a drop off like that, and Superdata is not, you know, sales figures from a company.
Right. When will we get those sales figures?
Not from Facebook.
It depends. Facebook's a public company, so they have to release their financials. So then we'll hopefully know more there. I think that's at the end of March, I think, is when the fiscal year ends.
Yeah.
I got to say fiscal on a podcast. Yeah.
We just got into
NPR. I'm smart. So that's
his word of the day.
So Ashley, what do you think? $100,000 projection drop off. Big deal, little deal, medium deal.
Well, if they're accurate, I think that's a big deal. I mean, that's a lot. That's not,
a lot.
You know, just a few headsets here and there. That's a significant amount. Yeah. So, and you know, and then also this, do you want to touch on this? The Best Buy locations.
Guys, let
and
me
demos.
Do the topics.
Joe gets so mad if you try to rush.
Joe doesn't like that.
I can tell.
Well, to add as well, Superdata gets its data from analysis of industry insiders, you know, retail sales things they give. You know, it's not like they call Oculus, and Oculus is like, hey man, it's like 250K. So it's an estimate, and they've been known to fluctuate on things too, as a caveat as well. Like they were
sure, but I don't think they'd fluctuate 100,000 units, right?
Yeah, it's all estimates, but it's still the fact that the estimate has gone down still means that something in the data has been worse than it was before.
Right.
That's the takeaway. Mm-hmm. It's not necessarily $100,000 or why do I keep saying that? 100,000 unit drop off guaranteed. It's just saying something has in their process has shown that it's not as good as they thought.
And that's surprising because this is post touch launch, which everyone was saying, oh, you know, the Rift will catch up to the Vive's capabilities as soon as that touches out,
and
then
everybody will want
it.
Then
it'll be playing ground. And even when it is, you know, there seems to be.
So it's interesting if we're not going to see that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So sales are not everything in VR right now. In fact, they, you know, we're not like we all keep saying it's not going to make money for a while, but it is. And again, like we're not like, you know, one of these companies is going to go under, but, you know, in the interest of being exhaustive. So the second part of that kind of like writing on the wall thing is Oculus has come out from a report in Business Insider that they're shutting down 200 out of or around 200 out of their around 500 demo stations they have set up at Best Buys around the world. So basically, the way they said it was, we're making some seasonal changes and prioritizing demos at hundreds of Best Buy locations in larger markets.
End quote.
Yeah, you nailed it. So when Oculus first started running these demos at Best Buy, it started with 48, and then it ballooned up to 500, and now it's shrinking down to around 300.
You know, I don't think that this is actually that big of a deal.
Really?
No, just in terms of marketing. I mean, it's
we're all gonna die.
No, but I think it's natural for you to increase, you know, your number of demos or locations when you're around a release time. See what's optimizing, which locations are performing the best, and obviously you put your money behind those,
exactly.
You know, as opposed to just keeping this kind of broad reach. So I think that's actually probably just good marketing.
Okay.
Yeah, the narrative people, it seems like, have been attaching to this is no one wants to try the Rift. No one's buying the Rift.
Yeah.
It's not going well. And that
that's what I thought, too.
And that could be true. And some articles have cited that, you know, they've talked to Best Buys and things like that. And they've said, yeah, we're not exactly selling these hand over fist. A couple of things to think of with that is Best Buy is a very distributed company. They have, you know, thousands of locations all over the world. So you might, you know, I don't know if the Best Buy in like, you know, a remote part of some remote state is necessarily going to move the most rifts. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Let's say Oklahoma.
Yeah. So it depends on who you're talking to. And again, that seems to tie into what Oculus is saying. Like, we're focusing on larger markets, which is, again, like you said, Ashley, good marketing. I think 500 demo locations was always a bit silly. Like,
that's a lot.
That's a lot. Like, yeah. Even if you had like one or two, you know, major cities, which is kind of how like Nintendo and Sega and all those guys did it in the early days, was we had flagship spots.
Mm. When you have to train somebody who actually has to run this demo and who has to then educate everybody. Yeah. I mean, it's a
they have them at airports. Like, they put them a lot of places. So it's not gloom and doom. My personal take on it is kind of like you. I think this is a company growing up and learning not to throw good money after bad.
Right, exactly.
I read the headline and then I thought they were just shutting them all down. And I think that's what a lot of people feel. You know, it's some of it, and it's, I guess it makes sense if you've ramped up from a certain point to 500 and you're just cutting down. Like, I guess that totally sounds normal now, but when I read the headline, that definitely didn't. Not our headline. Well, I think it was like Business Insider's. It was like Oculus is shutting down Best Buy demos. Like a lot of them.
Someone wrote, I can't remember the publication. It's probably good because I don't want to slam them on here. But they wrote a headline that was like, Oculus's no good year continues with the shuttering of hundreds of demo stages. It's the kind of thing I think when you read it on the face and then you take it with all these other things, it can sound like it's contributing to a narrative of failure. But when you think about it on its own, like you're saying, Ashley, it seems more like this was just
marketing strategy.
And and they even said too in their quote that it was always the plan to fluctuate the number of stores. And again, what else? Like, they're the ones who would say that, I guess, in this case.
Sure, of course.
But I really have no reason to like put on my tinfoil hat and be like, yeah, no, man. Like, because the cost of doing that for a company with Facebook money is so negligible. Like, if they wanted to sink the cost and just be like, if it gets us one customer, it's fine.
Yeah.
But and also everyone is like tweeting now, like, the Best Buy at my, you know, local Best Buy demo station is never, no one's ever there. It's a ghost. I keep seeing the word ghost town. Mm-hmm. And the funny part of that to me is like, I can't remember the last time I saw anyone at the like 3DS station for Nintendo at my Target. You know, these demo stations, like, they're not necessarily huge.
Well, it's also one of those things where it's like, do you really want to, you're in a completely public place. Do you, do people feel comfortable in front of?
I agree.
Other shoppers.
And honestly, what's the retail experience nowadays of electronics? Like, it's Amazon. Like, honestly,
right.
You know.
There were very few people when like the you know, shipping errors were happening that were like, I've been going to my Best Buy every day to see if like it was always like my Amazon order has been delayed. You know,
right?
You're absolutely right. Oz, people don't go in. Like, they might go into Best Buy to try it and then go home and buy it off the
I don't know,
interwebs. So yeah, I think that part is not an issue, but there's one more piece to the puzzle, and then we can take it all as a whole and make some analysis. But the other thing to consider is the giant $500 million lawsuit with ZeniMax.
Oh, right.
That is not a small thing.
Almost forgot about that.
The important part to note there is that the money isn't necessarily being paid all from Oculus or Facebook. A portion is coming from Oculus. A portion is coming from its co-founders, Palmer Luckey and Brendan Iribe. So it's not it's a significant chunk of change, but it's not enough to topple the company. But again, it's a straw on the camel's back, and it's another thing that is adding up. So that's something to consider, and they're appealing it, and it's not like they're writing the check right now and all that stuff, or it's going to cut into their, you know, future plans. Because if you go to their job pages now, they're hiring a ton of people and they're working on a ton of R&D, and I'm sure that'll always be the case. And I'm sure Facebook views their Oculus department not as a, you need to make us good products that sell like hotcakes. I think it's more of like, we are building.
It's a long-term investment.
Yeah, we're building the industry of tomorrow, and we're willing to lose money now to make money later, which is fine. So taking those things into account. So the drop in shipping predictions, the demos closing down, the tracking issues, and the lawsuit. What do we think of the question? Is Oculus struggling at the start of 2017?
Can I throw another piece into that?
Whoa.
Of course.
The new head of, I don't know if you guys talk about this last week, but the new head of Facebook VR, the guy from Xiaomi,
Yeah.
That's replacing your review. I mean, is that another piece to this? Because, like, there.
As a negative piece? You don't like this guy? What's going
on? Well, because it's not ahead of Oculus. It's ahead of, like, Facebook VR. So is Facebook just trying to.
He's the head of the Oculus team. And okay. So Oculus now is now being described officially as a team within Facebook. Mm-hmm. He's running the Oculus team. Brendan's running the mobile or the PC team, that kind of stuff.
Right.
So that is more, I think, just the, you know, Facebook bought Oculus and they want to bring them more into their fold. And mm-hmm. I don't think they want to keep them as like a subsidiary kind of thing. They want to like Facebook wants to be making VR happen, to mm-hmm. make social happen, to make communications happen and all that stuff. So,
okay.
I would think of Oculus more than anything as Facebook's R&D for VR right now. And they will put mm-hmm. out products and they'll test the waters and they'll make cool games.
That makes sense. Yeah.
So we got all the information and we're gonna figure it out. We're gonna get into some put on our learning caps and jump on in.
Let me take my notepad out, guys.
So Ashley, what do you
scribbling
think?
Scribbling some notes there.
Is Oculus struggling as we enter the second year of commercially available VR?
I don't know that I would say they're struggling. I think they've obviously hit some road bumps, but they're addressing them.
If you were a doctor, I feel like you'd be like, you're not, I don't want to say you're dying.
You don't have.
You're not.
You just have a slight tumor.
You're not living
you're
for
not,
long.
You're not thriving. We're definitely going to have some road bumps.
You're not thriving?
Yeah.
No, but I do think that, yes, they're having some issues. And I think when you put it all together, like we just did, and you kind of see all of these things piling up together, then it does make it appear like there might be some issues.
Right.
But at the same time, it's Facebook. Like, they're not going to let this
I
don't die.
Facebook has had some failed projects, guys. Let me remind you of the Facebook phone. Oh, you don't remember? That's why. Yeah.
I do remember the Facebook phone, but I don't think this
that
is
was
that.
Different, though. That was not a in-house acquired idea. That was that was basically they put their name on a phone.
I don't think you're gonna have a $2 billion failure.
Billion actually, if you take into account all the extras and bells and whistles.
Yeah. They've had. I mean, same as Google.
They're not perfect, mm-hmm. but I think we can say that Oculus is different for them.
I think it's here to stay. I don't think that they are in trouble in that sense.
I was just saying that just in terms of like even big companies with a lot of money, which we keep coming back to, Oculus is a ton of money, they can get through any problem. Mm-hmm. You know, it doesn't mean that you can stay afloat for everything. But
I think there's probably going to be elements that
fail.
There's
huge potential mm-hmm. in terms of the content that they're creating. I think Oculus, there's no one that stands up next to the stuff that Oculus Studios is making and their mm-hmm. funding. Like, I think that's what is going to keep them really valuable.
Mm-hmm.
I think the question, are they struggling? It depends on what you imagine Facebook's goals for them are.
Right.
So if you're saying, was Facebook's goal to make their money back on Oculus by selling Rift headsets, then they're in trouble. But I don't think that's the case, and I don't even know if that's their goal. I think, like I said, I think Oculus's job in the Facebook ecosystem is to make VR a thing, like make VR something that people want,
like relevant to the masses. Yeah.
Build and keep building. I think the products they release will just be part of building a market that Facebook can own a large chunk of in the future.
And mm-hmm. and answering the question of like what ecosystem does VR live in, right? Like, is it a part of Steam? Is it a part of like the PC gaming market? Is it going to be its own app store? Like, and they're trying mm-hmm. to experiment with all of this, and there's pushback, there's things that are working. And so it's a natural process that they have to go through, and that money is going to keep them alive enough to that they can iterate and change. So I'm guessing there's going to be the question, I don't know if you guys want to answer, but like, would they make a hardware change in terms of like their whole system, or should they be?
Like, what do you mean for their tracking?
Yeah, I mean, if that's going to be a big pain point,
I think that we are used to accepting consumer electronics as finished, polished products.
Yeah,
that, like,
agreed.
We're used to consoles and PlayStations and stuff. So like, mm-hmm. PlayStation 2 will be a slightly more powerful, slightly better PlayStation. You know, but I think when it comes to this, we're basically getting finalized prototypes, you know, that get sent out to us, and then they'll do another one. So like, it's possible the Rift Gen 2 will be nothing like the Rift Gen 1.
You're probably right about that, yeah.
And I think they'll learn. And if Valve is the best tracking, if Steam VR tracking is the best there is, they'll figure out how
to use it.
It depends on how much they want to work with their old buddy Valve. If there's a little bit of bad blood there,
I doubt they would like succumb to like going down that road, honestly, but. Maybe they'll do something similar. Maybe they'll just go all inside out and you know, go, because I know there will be hardware changes. Obviously. That's a stupid question.
There will be no hardware changes.
Do you guys think 10 years from now we'll still be putting these on and tripping over the line?
Still getting through 360.
Hey, no stupid questions on this on VR.
Yeah, no stupid. Yeah.
Nope.
So I think my answer to the question would be, I think Oculus is struggling, but I don't think they're failing. I think that they're hitting, like you said, Ashley, they're hitting some road bumps, and they, you know, they have a $500 million road bump, and you know, a lot of some Chinese road.
Laughing.
I think the biggest blow they're taking right now is to their perception and their mind share in the audience.
And honestly, the developer community, most of them haven't been too happy with just what's been going on, because they need the latest and greatest, and they need the biggest pool that they can develop for.
Right.
And they need to make money. So they need, like, Facebook might not be as interested in numbers of units, but they definitely are. Yeah. They're like, if I'm going to make for your system, I better get money out there.
Right, exactly.
Again, I think the Facebook goal for Oculus is, hey, go out there and make VR popular and make our name associated with it really good. And that's why they're willing to pay for games. That's why they're willing to pay for, you know, marketing and ads and do big conferences and stuff.
Yeah.
Because none of that is coming back to them. Like, they're not. That $3 billion is just getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And I think they're okay with that, because they're like, we'll make it work later. Mm-hmm. They're the ultimate venture capitalist for VR.
what a story it's honestly been in the past, like, 12 to 15 months.
Oz is tearing up right now.
But, like, it's
getting emotional.
Oh, my God. I can't wait for the movie in 10 years, guys.
The book's coming
out. The VR network. Can we call it that?
Friend of the show, Blake Harris, has got his book coming out this year, which is going to be really interesting.
Who's going to play Joe in this?
Oh, man. I just assumed I'd do it. I mean, I don't know. Like,
he'll be around.
Maybe your son.
Matt Damon. Young Matt Damon. With a Boston accent. I don't have one. let me ask you this, Ashley. What do you think Facebook should do to address that problem that you're talking about with the... in terms of their perception.
Throw me the hardball questions.
Oh, yeah, I like to put you on the, spot.
He does like to put me on the spot.
Yeah, it's good. So what do you
How
think?
How should they address
If you were in charge of Oculus and you're like, I need to get people back on my team a little bit, what would you do?
I would have the team work to fix all these issues first. Than worrying about sales of headsets and all these things, like, that seems to be the biggest issues, is that people are having problems with the tracking. So let's fix that and show the developer community that we hear you. And
from
we're
a marketing perspective, I mean, what would you be doing, or what are you seeing them doing and, like, you'd want to change? I don't know. You're into marketing, aren't you?
I am.
Yeah.
She dabbles.
I mean, I have some thoughts on that.
Go.
Oh, we'll do share.
Oh, I said it. I mean, the developer, I think they need to figure out how to market themselves back to the hacker space, which is, like, what Vive has completely taken over, that one-man developer team.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe, I don't know, maybe experiment a little bit with, I don't know where that thought's going.
No, you're actually, their best recruiting tool up till now has been their money. Like, come build for us and we'll pay for your game, basically.
Right.
But now they're trying to Ashley, their goal should be, let's make our tech flawless and let's make it the best that you can get.
Yeah.
And I think that is the goal.
Well, and I think, and maybe this is just a personal opinion, but if you're not going to be first, you have to be the best.
Well, they were first, though.
Yeah, we're first, so.
But not with their...
Oh, headset.
Not with their tracking. That's what they're having the issues with, so.
Yeah, if you're going to come out second, you have to
improve. If you're
going to
come out second, then you should have it be, you know, as close to perfect as
possible.
And
it was better in a lot of ways, and that's what we were super stoked about. But, like, the basics still have issues sometimes. Mm-hmm.
Right, so I think just showing the community that they're addressing those, which I think, I mean, they are, but I also feel like we're expecting it to be faster.
Yeah, Joe, you have a Rift at home that you use regularly. How is your setup? Two or three cameras?
Two cameras in a small space.
Cool. How does it work?
It works. It works great. Like, I lose tracking.
Yeah.
But it's when I expect to. So, like, if I bend down too low, because I haven't mounted them up on the ceiling yet. So if I bend down too low, I'm like, I can't pick up my clip. And onward, I dropped it. It's gone. But that's my fault for just being lazy. So, again, that's where I'm wondering how much of it is.
Don't blame yourself, man. Don't blame the user.
Well, I think that, like, I don't know how well I would do on any system if I, like, hit under my desk. It's my desk that's blocking it, so.
Yeah, but I've never really had those issues with, like, Like the ground is like my favorite point.
Wait a second! Look, he's wearing a Vibe T-shirt under there. He's here for them.
We're just sitting in a Vibe mixed reality room. That's all. I love like lying down on the ground and like doing VR things. And like,
right. I think the difference is I love the games. Like, and I could. Do. It's not that I could care less about the hardware. It's just that for me, it's like, is this fun? Mm-hmm. And does it work well enough to be fun? And I think as long as that's okay, I'm fine with it. I don't care if in Arizona sunshine, if I have to use the stick to turn around,
right.
Like, I don't care. I enjoyed my Game Boy, and it wasn't in VR at all. So like, I'm just saying, like, there's more archaic ways to have fun, and as long as it's enjoyable for me, and is gives me a good sense of like, okay, this justifies VR, then I'm happy with it.
I think Onward is like a good example of that. Like, there's a lot of really unpolished things about it, but like on a core level, it's like a fun gamer's game, and so you know, gamers are really into it.
Yeah.
So
let's bottom line it. Bottom line it.
Tequila shots all around.
This is our last lime. That's the bottom lime. I'm gonna cut you a slice. You a slice.
Mm-hmm.
Getting ready.
So let's just give our final verdicts on this question, and we'll move on. So is Oculus struggling? And if so,
we have to answer again.
Well, not everyone gave a definitive answer. Okay. Ashley.
So one word, one sentence answers.
You can go up to two sentences. Yeah.
Okay.
I'll be counting.
Two sentences.
How many syllables?
Is it a haiku?
Let's answer in haiku form.
We'll go 50 syllables, but it rolls over into you.
Is it 140 characters?
Yeah, we'll call it the singular wireless plan.
You're
so
out of
good
data.
At derailing this podcast.
That's fine. Hey, look, conversational podcast. Have fun. Enjoy yourself. Ashley, what do you think? Struggling? Yes? No?
I think no. I don't think they're.
I don't think they're struggling at all.
Well, I think they're, as I said before, I think that they have hit some road bumps.
I think what I want
to
just...
So they have some issues.
I just want Ashley, like, this nice veneer to just crack and her to be like, you know what? They are struggling, and everyone's struggling. I'm struggling over here at the...
I'm saying is that I think that every company is going to go through some challenges. Yeah. And I think they're hitting those challenges now. You know, they've kind of had a, I don't want to say an easy ride up until now, but... Mm-hmm. For the most part, the community's been very accepting and excited, and the content's been great.
Yeah.
You know, they were able to release a lot of these things that people wanted. And still I know best, I'm going over game, two yeah. sentences here, but, you know, I think that now we're starting to see them hit a couple challenges as any normal growing company.
Growing boy. Is. Yeah, drink your milk.
So you don't want the poppings. I guess what I'm saying is I'm not worried about them.
Oh, okay, that's great. That's the kind of sound bites I like to hear.
There you
on
go.
The show. I'm not
end
worried
quote.
About them, yeah. just closing arguments. That's what I'm looking for. Not repetition, just closing arguments.
True. Definitely struggling. Got to get through these hardware things. And they got the content. But if I'm seeing a YouTuber play a Rift game on a Vive using Revive because they don't want to deal with tracking issues, that's a problem.
Sure.
So, yeah, that's where we are.
I think it's hard because I can never ask myself the question, so I always just sound like I'm just butting into your guys.
Let me ask you, Joe.
Oh, thank you. I was just like, you
guys Oculus struggling.
Ask you questions, I'm like, well, here's what I think. Since you asked, I think that if you're coming at it from a traditional consumer focus that's grown up with consoles and everything being about numbers, like PlayStation will tell you every day of the week how many PlayStation 4s they've sold.
Right.
They do love
then,
that. Yeah.
Then you would see this as like, oh my gosh, they're struggling and they're going to fold because it's not good. But I think if you think about Facebook and what their actual goal is for Oculus and VR, I think it's, if anything, it's doing what, by encountering problems, they're doing exactly what they want, which is find those roadblocks and then go right on over them.
That's a train.
Is that a trains that go over roadblocks? trains might be the least capable vehicle of going over roadblocks of all time.
I guess I was thinking of the hype train.
All right. Well, that's the discussion, guys. Thanks for having it with me.
Yeah, of course.
Appreciate it. It was really fun.
Yeah,
always
this
fun.
Let's close this out with one more thing, which is, what are you most looking forward to in the next few weeks for VR?
GDC.
No, GDC will be good. GDC will be real, real fun.
Yeah.
Is that going to be amazing? No?
What else is happening? There isn't many releases that I know of that are coming out.
I think, yeah. Well, so we found out Rock Band VR is March 23rd, which is exciting. Mm-hmm. That'll be super fun. Have you played that?
Yeah, dude, at OC3.
It's fun, man.
Oh, my God.
I really enjoy it. It's giving me my...
What song did you play?
It's giving me my Rock Band VR love again.
Yeah.
Or which is my Rock Band love again, yeah. It's really, really fun. What song did I play? Something by the Goo Goo Dolls? I don't know. I'm not good at music.
I love the Goo Goo Dolls. That's good.
Oh, no, now you're going to buy it and be like, where's the Goo Goo
Dolls? Where's the Goo Goo Dolls? It's not in here.
I was promised.
I've never heard of that.
But I guess then on the upcoming... and then on the positive side of Oculus too, like they have a bunch of really good games coming as well.
Really?
Yeah. Landfall, the beta is going on right now. We're going to see more about, you know, Bridge Crew, cool, and Wilson's mm-hmm. Heart and mm. Arctica 1 and Lone Echo. I mean, like
all the OC3
stuff.
To be
fair, like I can't do that for any other platform in VR right now. It's just right, like, do what I just did
those,
to just,
yeah,
just rattle off a list of five amazing games I'm pumped for.
I agree. I can't do that for the Vive. Yeah. I have no idea what's actually coming out for the Vive, except for like the only anticipated thing that I know of is the Bridge Crew, the Star Trek Bridge Crew, and the Budget Cuts.
That's
they released a demo like a year ago and like nothing yet.
Budget Cuts, you mean?
Yeah,
really fun demo too.
Mm-hmm.
Really good. Actually, on the list of upcoming stuff, is there anything that's like...
Well, I'm kind of excited. So I'm going to LA this weekend, and I am hoping to go check out the new IMAX VR theater.
Oh.
Ooh.
That's fun.
They have some fun Star Wars experiences.
That's with the new headset, the super wide FOV thing. Star VR.
Star VR.
So
yeah. VR doing Star Wars. Wow.
Oh, mind blown.
I think that's like, if we get one more star in there, we open the gate of time.
Cool. Well, tell us next week, right?
Yeah, I'm hoping I'll be able to go. We'll see.
Awesome.
Just sneak in if you have to.
Yeah.
Use the old Jedi mind trick, right? Yeah.
These are the droids you're
remember
looking
how
for.
Bad? Remember how bad the prequels were? Oh my gosh, dude! Star Wars, George Lucas.
All right, Joe.
All right. Well, thanks for listening to the show. It's been a blast.
Thanks, everyone.
I have been Joe. This has been Ashley. This has been Oz. And we will continue to be those people.
This has been Oz.
Where everyone, just say your Twitter handles. So
Twitter handles.
One more time, and I feel like a jerk for saying it.
Yeah,
all time,
no,
but
go for it.
Joe_Durbin.
And I'm Ashley_MW.
I'm at AzadUX.
I'm at too, but we're all
ads.
Yeah.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah. He's not. You don't have to write at Azad. Yeah, AzadUX.
AzadUX. It's my full name.
People. All right, thanks for listening. Come back next week where we'll be back.
And send us
again.
Your questions.
Send us your questions. Put them in the comments. I think we'll do next week too is I'll send out a tweet maybe an hour or two before we record, and we'll see if anybody gets back to us there. So keep an eye on our Twitter. Follow us there if you haven't. Upload VR. And please visit uploadvr.com and read the stories and watch the videos, because that is what keeps our mics on and keeps the podcast coming to you. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Boom, boom, boom.
See you next week.
Bye.